person can't function without imuna. It's a whole shiur on its own. Bezrat Hashem, one day we'll go into it. Imuna is from Loshen Emes, it's from Loshen Umay, it's from Loshen Ima. Imuna is a ganze sugya. Aval, we're going to apply it to the aspect of chinuch, but don't think imuna is only relevant to chinuch. Imuna without tzadik be'emunos, riyachir, that's this generation. Without imuna, the talk of the person's finished. Nothing to talk about. Chaim V'Solovava says a frightening thing, terrifying thing, and it's not a punishment, it's just natural law. That a person is not boteich b'Hashem, is boteich in something else. There's no such thing as not being boteich in something. You trust something. You're sitting in this room today and you trust Hashem that the roof's not going to fall on your head, God forbid. If you don't trust Hashem that the roof's not going to fall on your head, who do you trust? Why are you sitting here? You trust the Kablan? Yeah, okay, fine, so... You trust statistics? What are you relying on? Every day you're trusting something. So Hashem says, the Chaim V'Solovava says, whatever person trusts in, that's what Hashem leaves him with. You trust the bank manager? You trust your money? So that's what you have. You have your money, that's it. Hashem says, I'm out of here. And nothing is... What's the lotion? He's moise hashgocha me'olav. Hashem takes away the hashgocha. There's nothing more frightening than that. Hashem says, oh, you trust... You trust this guy, you trust that guy, you trust this business deal. You know what? You don't need me. I'm out of here. That's a person doesn't have betochen. It's not just that you don't have betochen. It's just you just lost Hashem. Who could live without Hashem today? You trust the doctors, you trust this one, you trust that one. He says, oh, you trust the doctor. Let the doctor do the surgery. I'm not going to do it. You're in a lot of trouble. So that's why Imuna and betochen are, I mean, they're fundamental. That's why we spend every day learning about Imuna and betochen, because without that, you can't survive. Okay. Fine. So back to our couple with the kid in the swimming pool. Kacha niti la'av ha'shabu. So this is what I said to the father who was broken. Halo ha'kodesh bohu oivis ha'yelet shelachem kefi shenema Yisrael afel pishu chayti Yisrael hu. Ata atzmecha matzape la'av es Hashem lomarot kol chatchecha. Madua im kein yesh lecha schud lisnoi oisoi. So this is not the father with the child that drowned. This is the father with the kid that went off the derech. And that he had a hard time loving him. Do you remember? Why does this seem so unfamiliar? This is the Bnei Brak couple. Yeah, not the couple whose kid drowned in the swimming pool. No, this is the Bnei Brak, sorry.
I think we did this.
Yes, but we...
You mentioned your neighbor who's...
we started doing
this. Brazil, ended up in jail.
We started doing this and then we got a bit sidetracked, so maybe I'll just mark the wrong place. 1 second. We did do this. Yeah.
Remember the Brazil story with the kid?
Yeah. You see that kid who said, he told him, maybe this kid has to do something, you don't know what his nisoyin is in the world, and no one needs to do. Yeah. And then we said, the parents aren't potter lagamre, the parents have to see what they did wrong, do tshuva. Once they've done tshuva, so then they're off the hook. Well, this father came to say that he can't have, he's very upset. Remember, we started the whole story.
What if they can't find what they did wrong, they can't pinpoint it to the cheder that they sent to or the cheder that they didn't send to?
Stop blaming the schools. Stop blaming the schools and you'll find all the things you did wrong. I'm not saying the schools aren't to blame, but stop blaming the schools, pretend there were no schools, and then look and see what you did wrong. Could be you did send them to the wrong cheder and that was your cheder. Did you ask a shalit? Did you speak to your rov before you sent them to the cheder? I don't know. There are many reasons. Did you send them to the cheder because of your cover? Did you send them to the cheder because you want to be a doctor and you can only get... I'm saying not just in the Torah world. In the secular world as well, they destroy children like this. Did you leave your kid in the yeshiva that wasn't matim for him because you're worried about your daughter's shidduch? I'm talking about real life stories. The mother was asked, why did you send your kid to that yeshiva? You know it's not good for him. She said, Kolzman, my daughter isn't engaged, he's staying in that yeshiva. So you destroy your boy because of, as I'm saying, yeah, there are people like that. So forget about, I'm not saying once again, we've all been through the cheder system and everything, we've all got our problems with the cheder, the Beis Yaakov, all our problems, and it could be they're all valid, I'm not denying that. But that's not where to start. You have to start looking at yourself. And if you can't find anything, then it's not your problem. If you come to Yom Kippur and you can't find anything to clap or hate for, so then don't. I got a call once from an old Talmud, from an ex-Talmud to say it. Elul, and he's working, he's looking, and he can't find anything that needs changing. So it's a don't change. If you've got nothing to clap or hate for Yom Kippur, don't. What do you want from me?
Okay.
Guy's that perfect. He's finding me for ages. You're that perfect. I mean, what do you want from me? He couldn't find anything that needs changing. I was like, okay. know, ask your wife, maybe ask your neighbors, ask the people you work with. I don't know, maybe they can help you out. Diktuk Chaverim, it's one of the 48 ways, is if you can't find it, ask a friend. But once again, even if you can't find it, and seriously, I'm being genuine, you can't see that you did anything Ikaron wrong. You did your best. Everyone did their best. We're all trying. No one was trying to hurt the kids. You can't find anything wrong, whatever. So then, no, that's a gzeira from Shemayim. That's what this kid needs to go through, and that's what he's going through. It's nothing to do with you. Because ultimately, that's true. In the essence, that is true. No matter what you did, we said it already. You can't harm somebody that Hashem doesn't want you to harm, and you can't help somebody that Hashem doesn't want you to help. So if something happened to this kid, ultimately it didn't have anything to do with you. Those are those parallel lines that touch, but you still have to do tshuva. The classic example we gave you was the guy drowning in the river. Someone's drowning in the river. Hashem says, Lo samon al dam reacho, don't stand by on the blood of your friend. It means you have to do whatever you can do to save this guy. Right? If you can't swim and it's going to be, you're going to have to masakan yona, but let's say you're a lifesaver and you could have saved him. And you did it. Right? So you're a murderer. The Torah says you're a murderer. What happens if you knew with Ruach HaKodesh that the guy was going to drown anyway, no matter what you could do? You're a murderer if you don't try and help him. But he was going to drown anyway. He was going to drown anyway. You're still a murderer. Now what happens if he wasn't destined to drown, and you didn't jump in and save him, and he miraculously managed to get back to the beach on his own? You're still a murderer. But no one died in a chinami, but you killed this guy according to the Torah because you were supposed to jump in and save his life and you didn't. Obviously you can't be taken to basting for the murder because we don't have a body, but the Torah obligates us to do what we have to do. The end result has nothing to do with us. So the same with chinuch. You did everything you could, whatever, and the kid still didn't come out right. Or you did everything wrong and the kid did come out right. Are you going to take credit for that? It works both ways. I look at my kids, it's like I know it's got nothing to do with me. Mama, Kesha, all the mistakes and whatever you make and the kids still turn out straight, so you're going to blame yourself for that? So why are you blaming yourself when they turn out wrong? It's also got nothing to do with you. But you just have to do everything you have to do. Same as in business. You make a stupid business deal, whatever, and you make money from it. It has never happened in the world. Yeah, most rich people became rich because the mistakes they made turned out okay. They bought the wrong building at the wrong time, but suddenly something happened and whatever, they planted the wrong seeds and suddenly there was a shortage of celery in the world. He meant to plant wheat and he made a mistake and he planted celery and suddenly there was a frost in Europe and the price of celery went up. Became a millionaire overnight by making a mistake. Yeah, it also happens. So you're going to blame yourself? Oh, what a clever farmer I am. No, we know that. We know. If you're honest with yourself, you see it. So the same in chinuch. You made mistakes, whatever. You're human. You're going to make mistakes. That's wired into the system. So do tshuva. You can't see anything that you did wrong that caused the kid whatever. So fine. So then move on. Then it's got nothing to do with you. And there was a gzeira from Shemayim that this kid's going through what he's going through. Even if you did do something wrong, it's the same gzeira. Nothing to do with what you did wrong. That's the... It's hard for us to deal with imun and betochen. The hard sugyas. Okay.
Then the person has bechira though, klapei, even if it's a gzeira shemayim.
Okay, so we mentioned, you weren't here the other day, excellent. No, you're right, we mentioned that I'm not going to go into that subject because it's a very complex subject, it's a shir on its own. How my bechira can affect somebody else's gzeira. Yeah, that's a big question. If you want to look it up, Rav Tetz has a book on the subject. And if you want to listen to it, he's given the shiri many, many times all over the country. The day that he spoke, yeah, afterwards he gave that shiri no sameach, which is on TorahAnytime.com. You can listen to it there. It's a famous question. Can my bechira affect somebody else's gzeira? Even when Hashem's decreed something and he's announced that he's decreeing it, can my bechira override Hashem's decrees? So in Achinami, I have bechira. The question is, how does my bechira affect somebody else? This guy was supposed to be shot at a certain time in a certain place and I pulled the trigger. Am I responsible for that or not? If you hadn't pulled the trigger, the guy would have been shot with the same, everything would have been exactly the same, just you didn't pull the trigger, somebody else did. So the classic answer to that is according to those that hold, I mentioned the Kshtikal Machlaikas of Tabor and Moshe Shapiro on this subject. It's hard to say it's a Machlaikas because it's, or whatever, it's that. But so what's the classic answer to that is I pulled the trigger. So if I'm responsible for pulling the trigger, Kolzman I don't do tshuva, I killed the guy. I'm talking about in Shemayim. The Miyada de Tshuva and whatever, then I didn't kill the guy. He was going to die from Sheshes and Mebreshes. That's what we said. You build a mica, you didn't build a mica, and the guy fell off your roof. Had you built a mica, he would have fallen off the roof anyway. It had nothing to do with your mica. But you're still responsible. That's Magalgin Chayv, Chiro de Chayv. But there's a deeper aspect to it, which is what you're asking, and that is, but one second, how does Bechira fit in here? Oh, okay. So that, I said, I'm going to leave aside for now because there's too many Akdomas we need to answer that question. So I told the guys, yeah, once you've read Rav Tetzel, the chapter in Rav Tetzel's book about this, then you can come and talk to me about it.
Which
it's called Free Will, Predestination. It's a grey, dreary-looking grey book. It's in the process of being translated into Hebrew as well. So it's... Once I knew that, I told the guys, go read it and come back to me. No one's going to read it, so I don't have to deal with it. So that's whatever. Now I'm not so sure, because you could actually surprise me. But anyway, so. No one's ever read anything I told them to read. So.
It's not always true.
Everybody went through Chunjah Zachesed this week? No, so like I said, you learn it once a week. Okay. Let's go back to our couple here. Okay, so this is the father with the kid who's off the derech. Hashem loves this child, right? This child, even though he's sinning, is a Yisrael, and Hashem loves Yisrael. You also sin, no? And you also want Hashem to love you. So where do you get the merit to hate this child? Just because he's a sinner. He's a sinner. And so are you. He did this. You spoke Lashon Hora ever? I love that one. It always gets people going. When people are upset with somebody else or whatever, and he did this wrong, and how can you get him dumb from the Amud, and he did this. You ever spoke Lashon Hora? That's the worst one, okay? The Chofetz Chaim wrote a book on Lashon Hora. He didn't write a book on whatever this guy supposedly did, you know? It's like a... The guy's a Ganef, how can you get him dumb from the Amud? And you spoke Lashon Hora? Ah. You can hear them gagging. And Ramesh says, Gavaldi, because they go, ah. Yeah, but it's not the same. And so you're right, it's not the same. It's much worse what you're doing. And you do daven from the Amud. So. Ha'ava kohov hamshich lesaper. Livnei yomayim bikish memeni bnei kesef kedei lelechet aseret. Money yomay lagiv? Good question. The son comes to you to buy, he wants money to go watch a movie. What are you supposed to do? איך בכלל אפשר לצפות ממני לחס של אב לבן כלפיו? Well, how do you want me to relate to this child like a father to a son? We're talking about somebody who's... Once again, you've got to get into the father's shoes here, not into our shoes. Kid wants to go watch a movie. So nish kefela, not the end of the world. I mean, it's not exactly what I would want, but okay, we said it, whatever. We're talking about somebody who... That's like the kid's coming to you because he wants a hose pipe because he wants to gas himself in your car. You have to get into the father's head here. This is a major catastrophe. So Rav Tava said to him, Ma'asita, what did you do? Ma'asiti, kasti alecha ma'od. Ve'atachti bo dvarim kashim. I gave it to him. I got very angry with him and I gave it to him in his head. And of course everything was sorted out and everything was fine afterwards because that's the way that normally works. No. Anisi lo. Now you see what I want this recorded. Anisi lo. What benefit was there from you protesting and screaming at this child? What would be if you got a report back from the doctor saying this child has he's got a certain terrible disease? You throw him out the window? First thing you have to do is you have to go to Hashem and daven to him. What do you do in this situation? What do you do? What happens if the doctors came and told you this child's got a terrible disease? What would you do? Get angry with him, scream at him, shout at him, give him some on his head? No, you'd go and you'd phone up a referrer and you'd phone up all the askolim and you'd start going asking for shalas and brochas and segulas and running to kibrit tzadikim. What would you do? So the same thing with ruchnias. Shaini salecha lepashpesh b'maisecho. Now go and have a look in your deeds. Madua agia lecha tzorezu. It's a tzore this. Ain't tzore gedoyle mizu. So the Gemara says if this tzore comes upon you, go have a look. Mepashpesh b'maisecho, like we spoke about in the beginning. Go and have a look and see ma'asiti. Ulam. Ein kan klal sibli trages. Could be that there's no reason to get upset with this kid. Mamshicha avlesho. Maiti tzarech lasot. What was I supposed to do? Hashavti lo. Dover rishon lishloit patzmacha. First thing you have to do is look at your obligations. What am I chayv to do? First of all, you have to control yourself. First of all, you're not allowed to get angry. You do oilam einu ma'abedes ishto noisav. A person's not allowed to lose his kerev. He's not allowed to lose control. If you don't know what to do, so Chazal tell us, asel acharav, v'istalek min asofek. Get a rov and remove yourself from the sofek. You've got a laugh problem, which is very complicated. Give it to a rov. For him, it's a technical problem. It's very simple. If you ask a rov a shaila, what you do is you take a laugh problem, which is complex, with all sorts of vested interests, and you make it into a technical problem. He just has to come up with the right answer. He has no vested interest whatsoever. So selach harav, istalak min asofek. Ubanayisef ha'isem etzielach alif not alav butzurazu. And then I would advise you to go to your son and say to him like this. Now obviously it's not the obvious answer for everybody. You've got to work out, you've got to know yourself, you've got to know the kid, you've got to know the situation. This is not a handbook, learn this off the heart, and whatever your kid does, say this to him. But it's a pretty good answer. Say to him like this. Ratzite le'akiv li ve'hitzlachte b'mishemasecha b'tzura mushlemes. You wanted to upset me, you wanted to hurt me, and I want to let you know, you were ma'od matzliach. Ha'ka'eviz li ma'od shebekashte memeni kesev lecha l'sarit. I was enormously pained when you asked me, never tell the kid you hurt me. Never tell anybody you hurt me. Tell them I was very hurt by what you did. Don't say you did that. It's just a sad eitzer. And pay me for that afterwards. It's a very useful eitzer. Never tell your wife you upset me. Tell her I was upset by what you did. Correct? Correct? That's called I statements. Oh, you see? Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about here. That's what I keep him around for, just to validate everything I'm saying. No, Baba Pasha, never say you hurt me. Say I was hurt. Ah, it sounds the same. It's very different.
My wife did that from the time the kids were like 2 or 3. What you did was very naughty, not you are a naughty boy.
Good. Also the same thing. Don't make it personal. Excellent. Okay. But nice of tell him, listen, you try to hurt me and I want you to know you were more matzliach. I was very hurt by what you did. When you asked me money to go to a movie. Kenina Korosh Bochu Roitse Li Yisrani. And it probably Hashem wants to give me Yisurim, that's why this came to me. Rak hu yoda esachesh bon madua magi li tsa noirazeh.
This is all what he's telling
the kid. This is what he's telling the kid. Hayiti matzilcha lifnot alav betzurazu. Talk to your son and tell him this. You wanted to hurt me, you were matzliach. What matzliach? You asked me for money to go to the seret, whatever. I was very hurt by what you did. And I know that it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu who arranged this. Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu was magiyali this tzora. And Hashem sent me the tzora. Why Hashem wanted me to have this tzora? Ain ze manyeni, that lo manyeno tikol kach achshav. Ani makabel es yisuru ba'ava kizu rotzen Hashem. I know this is rotzen Hashem, and I makabel this ba'ava. Ubenogaya le'ana, what about the etzem? That's the hakdama. Now what about the etzem bakasha? He asked you for money to go to a movie. Ubenogaya le'etzem ha'bakasha. Kodesh Baruch Hu hivkid oscha b'yedei pikadon. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you to me as a pekodim, a foster parent here. I'm your father and I love you. I can't decide myself. There's a boy Ra'ilam in the picture here, who's a partner in this pekodim. Shirak hu machlit ma nachno sim b'chaim o ma lo. Only Hashem decides what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. ואני צריך לברר מה הקדוש ברוך הוא רוצה שנהג במקרה שלנו. I have to go find out what Hashem wants to do in this particular situation. I don't know. It's not my money. And then I have to conduct myself לפי דרות של Hashem. אני לא רוצה להקיב לך, אבל אני לא מנהל את חי בהתם לנצנצי האישים. יש לי מי שמנהל את חי. I don't want to upset you. I don't want to hurt you. אבל I don't live my life based on my personal desires. I have a manager and I have to discuss with the manager what I'm supposed to do. I'm not the boss here, I just work here. Hashem gave you to me. I have to decide, I have to find out from Hashem what I can give you, what I can't give you, what's good for you, what's not good for you. No. The kuva kazu he shir musa me elef leyelet. Malef liyelid. Vumakabel kama meseri. I'm not telling you that the kid's not going to oof and huff and puff and get angry and walk in and slam the door, whatever. But what's going in, this week's Pasha, yeah? Sapel le oizne bincho. Speak to the ears of your child. That's a waste of a word, no? Which word's wasted? Ears. Well, what I would have thought I was talking to his feet, so supposed to come and tell me I talk to his ears. What's pshat? Sometimes you have to talk to the ear, not to the seichel. Sometimes you have to tell a child something that he's not going to makabel straight away. Sometimes he can't understand it now even. Speak to the ear anyway. Eventually it'll go. It's a kotzka's vort on al levavchem. Sometimes you have to place things on your heart. Why not in? Because sometimes the heart's closed and it can't go in. Put them there anyway. One day the heart opens and it all falls in. The same as a child. He's not ready to hear what you have to say now, but he needs to hear it. So the bela oiznet. Speak to his ears. When he's ready, he'll go to his room. He'll once in a boch in the yeshiva, he was doing something that he shouldn't be doing, and it was controlled. I was watching him carefully and whatever, and we knew about it. It wasn't a secret. And but it got to the point where I realized this guy's ready for. He's ready to take the next step. Came in, he sat in my office. I said, "That's it. Ad kan. I'm not facilitating your whatever he was doing. That's it. Game over. Either get your act together or pack your bags and leave." He got up, he walked out of my office, he slammed the door. It was a bad old days when I still had an office. Slammed the door, ran out of there, whatever, and that was it. 2 days I never saw him, never heard from him. Day three, he walked to my office, he said, "You know what, you're out." Now, I'm not saying it always goes that way. Sometimes you never see them again. But it came a certain point where, for his good, I needed to put my foot down. Now, at the time that I said it to him, he couldn't hear it. But he went off, he reflected, he thought about it, he calmed down. Eventually, what was on his ears went into his head and he confessed that it was the right thing. Baruch Hashem today is a qualified accountant with children, married, whatever. He was, I don't know what's lower than Nun Shari Tumah. He was a Nun Dalet Shari Tumah, this kid, when I spoke to him then. Baruch Hashem. He got a boom like that. But I wasn't talking to his seichel, he couldn't hear it. Only when he stepped back and reflected, it's the same, yeah. This kid that you're busy telling him about, well, I don't know whether I can give you 20 shekels to go to the movies, I've got to ask a Rov, I've got to ask a Shala, blah, blah, blah. The kid's going to freak out. Yeah, he's going to say, "Oh, you can't make up your mind, what's the matter with you? You're such a robot, man, he's going to put that. You're not going to just go, "Oh, thanks, Dad, so when do we go to the Rov, you know? Do you want to make an appointment with Rav Chaim, you know?" Like, no, he's going to go nuts. This is a Shia Musa, basically. First of all, you're teaching how a Jew that believes in Hashem accepts Yusurim. You're giving him a real life demonstration of how a person is accepting Hashem's decrees with love. That's number one. Number two, מחדירים להכרוסו שהוא ייתן דין וחשבון על כל הכך שהוא פוגע בך. You're telling him that he's going to have to give din v'cheshbon one day because he caused you pain. Hu mizvada lekach shu be'etzem yelet shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'imutos einu beinoy lebeincha ela beinoy lebeinkoinoy. The fight that he's got going on with you isn't actually a fight between you and him. He has to go deal with Hashem, not you. Einu chamusag ad kami yediyah zu chashuva lo b'matzavoy. Sorry. Ela beinoy lebeinkoinoy. Shlishis, that's the second thing. Third of all, hu mevin shata ohev oto. You care, you love him. That's the most important thing. There's nothing more important for a child to know when this is going on, that no matter what, you still love him. Unconditional love. Who do we learn that from? Hashem. Hashem loves us. Unconditionally. It has to be that way, because Hashem's love can't be conditional. Why? Hashem's infinite, therefore his love's infinite, therefore it can't be limited by any boundaries. Chizkiyahu Melech with his son Manasseh. Remember? It's one you like, smile, whatever.
He dragged them out.
Who dragged what?
He dragged them out by
No. Let's just finish this stickle here and then I'll tell you the story quickly. We have to stop here. It's fascinating. It needs kichzuk constantly. You don't remember this?
The story of
Manasseh.
That he didn't want to have children because he saw.
That was Chizkiyahu didn't want to have children because he didn't want Manasseh to come into the world. But Manasseh was already in the world when my story starts.
The big chota.
Okay, one second.
Did the shiver, apparently.
How much love Hashem has for us? Okay, one second. Fine. That was the third thing. And the fourth thing reveals me'ata hu yodeh she'ata lo poel al pi shkule dayt chayshim el al pi rotzen Hashem. The fourth thing he knows is nothing to do with your personal desires and your personal retainers. He knows that you're functioning out of rotzen Hashem. And whatever the rotzen Hashem is, that's what we'll do. Not because I have a vested interest that you should go to the movies, shouldn't go to the movies. Maybe the rotzen Hashem is the father should say to him, why are you going on your own? I'll come with you. Maybe the rotzen Hashem is if you go to the movies, you don't come back to my house. I don't know what the rotzen Hashem is here.
We know only what the father say, but we don't know what the children have.
We the fathers, we have to learn what a father does.
We have also to listen the child to have
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful shkayach. Beautiful, beautiful. Avada. Yeah. Very important to listen to the children. That's the most important thing.
No.
He's saying we're talking here about the father's perspective. But there's the child's perspective as well. We have to look at it from the child as well. I said, yeah, we're talking to the father, but anachinami. The father has to listen to the child very, very carefully and hear what the child say.
We have to go to the movie?
Why is he in pain? Why are you trying to hurt me? Why are you trying to... Yeah. You must know how far children will go to hurt their parents. Eh? I was involved once in a case, and not with a tape recorder. Anyway, Menashe, you can leave this on. I'm not going to tell this story now. I want to tell you about Menashe. Menashe was a big Rosha. One of the greatest Rishonim ever. He killed his own grandfather, who was Yishai Novi. He wasn't a big tzaddik. He worshipped every Avodah Zorah in the world. I'm doing this quick and fast, because it's late. And he worshipped every Avodah Zorah in the world. And eventually he got what is due to him. He got caught by the Babylonians. They took him off to Babel. They put him a big pot in chains, and they were busy cooking him alive. And it was getting hotter and hotter. He was calling out to all his Avodah Zorahs to save him and help him. Mm-hmm. Bessof had been through all his Avodah Zorahs, and he was still cooking. So I turned around to Hashem with the following taina. He said, Hashem, I have a Messiah from my ancestors that a person should never give up hope even when the sword's on his throat. You should never give up hope. And I'm calling out to you to help me. Fine. Now listen carefully to what he said. If you help me, then you're Hashem. And if not, then you're no better than all the other Avodah Zorahs. Yeah? Kind of a chutzpahdika kind of taina, okay, when you're in trouble. It was so bad that the Gemara says the Malachim, there's different levels your tefillahs have to go through. There's shutters. The Malachim shut down all the shutters so the tefillah couldn't go up to Hashem. What did Hashem do? He carved a tunnel under the ground, whatever, I don't know what this means, until it came to Kisei HaKovod. Hashem makabel the tefillah, and a big wind came and blew Menashe back to Yerushalayim. The whole discussion, the Gemara, after he did tshuva, if he has a chelik in Olam Haba or not. That's how bad he was. It means it could be that he did tshuva and he still hasn't got a chelek in Olam Haba. It's a whole discussion, I'm not going into that. Rav Pinkus asked, what was Menashe's taina? Menashe was a Talmud Chochim, he wasn't a fool. Menashe was a very clever guy. He was making a taina to Hashem, it had to be a taina of Mabakah. It wasn't a kid saying to Hashem, if you help me, then you're Hashem, if not, no, that's not Menashe. What was the svara behind his taina? So his svara was like this. If you don't help me, why not? Because I'm so bad. That means your mercy is limited. If I'm bad, then you're not Hashem, because Hashem's infinite. Then you're like all the Avodah Zorahs I'm worshiping who are finite. You may be bigger than them, you're super big, but you're still finite because your love for me is limited. But if you help me, no matter how bad I am, that's an indication that you're Hashem, because your love is infinite and unconditional. And Hashem said, you're 100% right. There's no one that can get so bad that I can stop loving them. There's no such thing. There's no yid that can get so bad that I'll stop loving him. Yisrael afal pi uchoyti Yisraelu. There's consequences. You may not have a chayluk in Olam Haba. I might have to whip you, I might have to beat you, I might have to kick you, whatever. But you have a din of yasiz Yisrael. Nothing you can do to get me to stop loving you. You can take yourself out of being Israel. There are certain things you can do. Then you're not Israel anymore. You don't have a dinner of Israel. It's something else. But there's no one sitting in this room that has that problem. So therefore, no one's got an excuse here anymore. No one here is worse than Menashe. No one here is worse than Menashe. Hashem loves us unconditionally. So we have to learn. With our own children, we have to love them unconditionally. You may have to kick him out the house. I'm not talking about what you have to do. You may have to keep him in the house. If you switch off these machines, I can tell you stories all day about how Gadoli so dealt with these situations that are going to make your head kick. Your head kick. So not for what we would do. A very,